You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
Now it's time to drop around to Cozzy's Corner.
It surely is. Good morning, the purveyor of all sorts of information, Roman Coz.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to our listeners. And may I say a special good morning to friends Ray and Karen Lamaro, Mark Freudenstein, and of course Mrs. Coz is having a listen.
So yeah.
Good morning to them.
Good morning to all those folk.
Right, Pete. First of all, I need to thank you for setting me up with this program some time back. This is my 105th episode of this series. It's quite interesting. Been a most interesting journey.
Well, it's certainly been interesting for us on this end listening in, Roman. So I hope you've enjoyed the research as well, and well done. Congratulations.
Oh,
and
very much so.
Yeah, look, who knew when we started off that we'd still be doing it more than 12 months later?
Yes, yeah, a bit of a surprise, but here we are.
Yep.
Today I'm going to talk about a TV series that was a kind of a slapstick Western version of Get Smart, where they just made as much comedy out of every situation as they could. It was originally based on a series called Sergeant Bilko from the late 1950s, starring Phil Silvers, and the series is called F-Troop, and it went for three seasons, 65 episodes between 1965 and 1967. It was set at Fort Courage, somewhere in the West. I didn't quite say where it was, and it was led by a very clumsy Captain Wilton Parmeter, who became the captain because at some stage somewhere he accidentally sneezed, and that had some of his troops believing that was an attack signal, and they won whatever battle they're at. So Private Parmeter became Captain Parmeter.
Sounds good to me.
This is the ilk of the show. This is the way this show was all about. There are other characters like Morgan O'Rourke and Captain Randolph Agan. And they were both in cahoots with the Hikawi tribe leader, Chief Wild Eagle. Some people might like to know how the Hikawi tribe was named. When the Pilgrim Brothers landed at Plymouth, Massachusetts, Chief Wild Eagle and his troops were there, so they decided to bolt some and get right away from it. And they got a little bit lost, and one of the Indians said, Chief, where the heck are we? So they called themselves the Hikawi tribe after that.
Oh dear.
that's
love it.
The sort of stuff that you've got to be prepared for when you watch this show.
Right.
So that trio led what was known as O'Rourke Enterprises, and they were up to all sorts of shenanigans and things like, telling Captain Palmer that there were 17 scouts when there were actually only 13, but the other four that they were getting the money for were always out scouting somewhere. Jane Thrift, she was also known as Wrangler Jane in the series. She was the captain's love series, a shopkeeper and postmistress in the series. And they had a bunch of strange characters like the useless bugler Hannibal Dobbs, who could only play Dixie and Yankee Doodle Dandy. We had Trooper Vanderbilt, the lookout, who was almost blind. At one stage, two feathered Indians managed to get in. He thought they were turkeys. That's such a good lookout. So there was Trooper Duffy, who supposedly fought with Davy Crockett the Alamo and was the only one who survived. Crazy Cat, Chief Wild Eagle's goofy, inept assistant. And we had 147-year-old Roaring Chicken, an ancient medicine man, the son of Sipping Duck. So they had a bit of a play with some of those characters. The actors, I'll let you know a little bit about the actors. Ken Berry, who played Wilton Palmer, he had appeared in the Andy Griffith Show prior to doing this particular show in 65. And after the series finished, he ended up in the lead in Mayberry RFD. And for those who don't know, RFD stood for Rural Free Delivery, which I didn't know until a couple of days ago. He was originally picked to play the male role in the Francis the Talking Mule film series after Donald O'Connor had enough, but Mickey Rooney won the role. And he was also quite a comedian who opened up for comedy people like the Abbott and Costello shows in Las Vegas. So he was quite well known before he got to this series. Forrest Tucker, who played Morgan O'Rourke, he started in vaudeville in 1934, the age of 15. And had appeared in almost 100 films, mostly westerns, and he really got the prominence in a film called The Westerner in 1940 with Gary Cooper, big fight scene and all of a sudden people knew who Forrest Tucker was. Served in World War II, and in 1958 he co-starred opposite Rosalind Russell as her husband in Auntie Mame, the film. Stage work and then more Western films and TV series for him. Larry Storch, who played Captain Agan, he was originally a stand-up comedian and appeared in dozens of TV series, and strangely enough, he'd actually appeared in Sergeant Bilko, the show that F Trooper sort of modelled on. He had been in Get Smart as well, and other series like Columbo. There's a long, long list for this guy. He was also in variety shows like Laugh-In, if people can remember that one, the Johnny Carson show. And he was also an impressionist who could do hundreds of voices and dialects, so an extremely talented fellow. Even though he played that bumbling Corporal Agan, who was always getting all sorts of trouble, Larry Storch was the exact opposite. Melody Patterson, who played Wrangler Jane, she lied about her age to get onto the show, Pete. She was only just turned 16.
Goodness.
Forged the birth certificate to say she was 18. And when the studios found out, of course, they had to be very careful how her and Captain Parmiter were portrayed, you know, certainly in the first series.
Mm. Yeah, that would have created a bit of interest, actually, even back then, wouldn't it?
Back then, yeah, if the audiences had known she was so young.
Yeah.
It would have been a different days then.
Absolutely.
She ended up marrying a guy called James MacArthur, as many people might remember as Danny Williams in that TV series Hawaii Five-0, and he was the mother of, he was the son of actress Helen Hayes. She appeared in a few minor films after F Troop was finished, and ended up being a disc jockey for the Armed Forces as radio service, probably starting around about the Vietnam time.
No, oh, okay.
She's quite a talented young girl there.
Mm.
Frank DeCova, who played Chief Wild Eagle, he was known for appearing in films from 1951, and so often did he play an Indian, it was unbelievable. You'd see him in series like Wagon Train, Cheyenne, Gunsmoke, Rawhide. He's always playing an Indian. Or he played a gangster in episodes of shows like The Untouchables. So he was a very well-known face.
Yeah.
Over the years in that show, they had some very interesting characters. Don Rickles, the comedian, played Bald Eagle. Jamie Farr, who was known as Corporal Klinger in that MASH TV series, he played an Indian comedian called Stand Up Bull. You can see how they had so much fun. Pat Harrington Jr., he was Secret Agent B. Wise. It was an imitation of Don Adams' character in Get Smart. Zsa Zsa Gabor was in it as Gypsy Marika. Paul Peterson, who some might remember from the Donna Reed Show or singing a song called Little Bit for Sandy. He was Wild Eagle's nephew in Sitting Bull's Sharp Shooting Son, Johnny Eagle Eye. We had Paul Lindert as a singing Canadian Mountie. Harvey Corman was a Prussian Colonel Heinrich von Zeppel. I don't know how they made all these up and that other name.
There was a lot of comedian type talent around back then. I don't know. Everything used to be a whole lot more fun than it is now, I've got to tell you.
Oh, for sure. Vincent Price was in it as Count Zorfa, a spooky type of character, as you can imagine.
Mm.
And you had names like Chief Mean Buffalo, Flying Sparrow, and all these sort of things. you must imagine sitting in the room where they're doing the scripts, how much fun they had, and they got paid for all of this too. So.
Fantastic. Yeah, would have been a good gig.
Oh, great gig. Pete, it was a fantastic little series that everybody who remembers it loved it. So that's all I've got to say about the show, Pete, and I'll be back next Monday. Will you be back then?
No, Terry will be back next Monday. Yeah, I'm here until Friday, and I'm actually filling for Dave on Saturday morning as well, and then I'm out of here after that for a while.
But we will catch up with you in the flesh at some stage, but officially, the next time you're on, we'll catch you then, and thanks for listening.
Yep, no worries at all, and thank you, Roman, for all the research that you do on this. I reckon you should do one on Paul Peterson, actually. He had a lot of songs out in the early 60s.
Yeah, I've actually got an album of Paul Peterson songs, and I love him. He's fantastic.
Yep, so there we go. There's one for you for the future.
I'll let you know when we're doing it, Pete.
Sounds great.
All right, thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
Roman Cos there, our resident historian in both films and songs and artists, and what a great job he does. His 105th episode. That's fantastic.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.